com/visa-signature.
Jeff Shapiro joins us now from the Richmond Times-Dispatch for his Friday morning analysis of Virginia political news. Hello, Jeff.
Good morning, Wayne.
Okay, well, it's good to have you with us again this Friday morning. Tell us about StarTech. That was a company that got state grants as incentives to open 3 call centers around the state, and now it's been closing the centers, laying off people. What's the political fallout on that?
Well, StarTech's phone center in Henry County is the largest remaining, or will be the largest remaining, or the remaining largest employer in that economically hard-hit area of the state. So 630 jobs are going to disappear. This is another body blow to the Martinsville-Henry County economy. The jobless rates range down there from about 12% to 18%. This is a region of the state that was the seat of the textile, tobacco, furniture, shoe industries, no longer. What makes this so interesting is that this shutdown was announced the same day as the governor announced the creation of 65 new jobs up in the Stanton area at the Cadence plant, a factory that manufactures, among other things, surgical instruments. What this all has a lot of people wondering about is if the governor is going to take credit for job creation, and that was a big theme in the 2009 campaign, maybe he should take some of the blame for job losses. And StarTech isn't the only employer in Virginia that is going dark. Just this month alone, 4 employers with 50 or more workers announced that they'd be cutting back or shutting down. And it's got a lot of people wondering, you know, what more can Bob McDonnell do? And realistically, what can a governor do to control the economy? And then there's this other issue. Bob McDonnell, like his predecessors in both parties, likes to throw around a lot of taxpayer money to attract these big marquee companies. You know, Northrop Grumman got $14 million to move its corporate headquarters from the West Coast to Northern Virginia. That was Bob McDonald's doing. Tim Kaine threw a lot of money at Rolls-Royce to put a plant down in the Hopewell area. And this annoys economic conservatives, and Bob McDonald claims to be one. They see these incentives essentially as bribes, as corporate welfare, that they're investments that really never pay off for the state.
The 2012 Senate race continues with the most prominent candidates, Democrat Tim Kaine and Republican George Allen. Allen facing some opposition on his side, are kind of ducking some of the issues so far.
Yeah, you know, in politics, sometimes it's a lot more important what the politicians aren't saying. And the silence of George Allen and Tim Kaine on some of these hot-button issues could push votes in the 2012 Senate race. Let's start with Kaine. He's not saying where he stands on President Obama's latest push for peace between Israel and the Palestinians. Kaine has got to know that any position could put him crosswise with Jewish voters or Arab American voters, and Kaine's going to need every vote for this possible nail-biter with Allen next year. But Allen knows, too, that this is a way of reminding swing voters who could decide the election next year of Kaine's political romance with the president, that he's yet to show any independence from Obama. Now, Allen's got a tricky problem, too. It's called Medicare. He isn't saying how he'd vote on privatizing Medicare. You know, that idea is being pushed by the House Republicans. The Senate defeated it this week. And this is a real balancing act for George Allen. You know, he doesn't want to further offend the Tea Partiers, who are already put off by his record as a big spender. Remember, you know, the multiple votes by George Allen to raise the debt ceiling, the unpaid-for senior drug benefit, those debt finance wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And now Allen, of course, has got to worry about senior voters, as that special House election up in New York showed, because they don't want Washington screwing around with their Medicare benefits.
Okay, we've got about a minute and 15 seconds left. to talk about the elevation of Paul Nordo to be the next clerk of the House of Delegates. He's been the chief of staff to House Speaker William Howell, and he's going to be the first clerk of the House to come in with Republican credentials.
Yes, indeed. And Paul Nordo has been an assistant to Virginia Governor George Allen, worked over in the State Council of Higher Education before going to work for Vance Wilkins, the first Republican speaker. And he has been a kind of conduit through some of those troubled transitions at the speaker's level within the Republican caucus. As you correctly point out, he will be the first clerk with an identifiable Republican pedigree. He will succeed Bruce Jamerson, of course, who committed suicide on Easter Sunday. But the appointment, and this will probably be settled in the next week or so, raises a couple of questions. Will House Republicans demand from Nordo the same kind of nonpartisan, if you will, apolitical approach to kind of the nuts and bolts operations of the House that it demanded from Jamerson? Or will the clerk again become an instrument of the majority party? And that was the case still when Bruce Jamerson became the clerk in 1991. So A lot of people are going to be watching this appointment.
All right, thanks to Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch, who joins us every Friday morning at this time. Thanks, Jeff.
You bet.
It's 8:40.
It's Morning Edition for me.